up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos?
Yeah.
He stretches to life.
She marries me.
It's 3 minutes gone past 11 o'clock hour. It's still the nation's number one talk news and sports radio station, 99.3 Nigeria Info. And we're going to conversations now. Mm-hmm. Of course, elections are drawing close and we have to have conversations like this, whether it's on a lighter note or on a softer note, but we must have these conversations. We're going to be talking about leadership deficit in Nigeria and why Nigerian presidents fail. Well, we have a guest in the studio in a bit. We're going to get into that conversation and I will be introducing my guest. But my hunters, don't forget, you need to go download the Nigeria Info mobile app.
If you do not have the mobile app,
you can't get access to, you know, the 5,000. So download the mobile app. Make sure that you look for a picture of the third mainland bridge. Yes.
Very easily identifiable.
Yes. If you're the first person to identify it, you will see, a drop down and you will fill that form. Once you fill that form, let's hope that you're the first person and you can get 5,000 Naira.
All right, and we'll hope to announce the name of the winner before we leave.
We promise
today. Hopefully. Yeah?
That Lami will give us the information.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. But let's go into conversations in earnest. We want to talk about leadership deficit in Nigeria and why seemingly our presidents fail. Because it seems to me, stretch half the time, for every administration that ends, we're quick to say, well, this other person that came before was better. Way better.
It's always been that way.
Does it seem that these leaderships become more abysmal as the years go by?
Well, before I answer, I'll say, God, I beg you. All right, so that's just a prayer in the air. God, I beg you. Well, it seems so that, from trend has shown from 1960 till date, everybody keeps saying the previous one. Mm. Even I didn't even believe I'll be at a point where you say the Abacha administration was better. We said that. And so what's the reason? Why do these things happen? Are we progressively nosediving? Are we on a free fall? Why do governments fail?
Well, we have a guest in the studio. Our guest is a veteran journalist. He's also a political analyst. One that I would say, I wonder how many computers are in his brain.
He's in a class of his own.
Yes. Shegu Shoumi is... Biodu Shoumi is a political analyst and veteran journalist. So good to have you in the studio joining us.
My pleasure.
Great. Welcome. So you listened to Stretch and I when we started by talking about the trajectory of our leadership in Nigeria. We moved from the military era into what we call a democratic process, as nascent as it is, or we seem to see it continuously. Why do you think that people continuously say what we say, that, oh, you know, Goodluck was better than Buhari? Oh, well, this person was better than this person. Does it mean that we're on a downward spiral as opposed to progressing?
Yes. The truth is Nigeria is a country in retrogression. This has been going on since 1967, 66, 67. It's not something that just suddenly happened or we are caught unawares. If you look at how the founding fathers of this country did actually structure the country, the way they configure it, it was configured in a way that it provided, dividends of democracy, dividends of good governance. We had it all. What people thought about the development in the Western region, at that time, were also being replicated in other parts of the country. I can give you a good example. When University of Ibadan was established in the Western region in late 50s, immediately the Eastern region established UNN, Nsukka, I think around 1963 or something, 64. And then it was followed by Ahmadu Bello University, in the north, after the Nsukka UNN. So they were mirroring each other. When Western region was concentrating on cocoa, we had coal, from mineral resources from the east. Mm-hmm. At the same time, we had the Grand North Pyramid in the north. So the country was a lot better. We witnessed tremendous development. The first television station in Nigeria, Western Nigerian Television in Ibadan, was in existence in 1959. That was before France could even dream of having a television station. We had the first, 25 multi-story building, multi-level building, even before many countries in Europe. So when you begin to ask yourself, I wonder whether many people even know that we used to have a tram in Lagos. So we have gone back in terms of the realm. But what led to this? The structure that produced the leaders like Azikiwe, like Ahmadu Bello, like Awolowo, and so on and so forth, Akintola and others, that structure was dismantled by the military. And then an attempt was made to create a new structure, which is what they call federalism. In reality, it's a unitary system with some resemblance to federalism. So that was put in place on purpose, and the country was further subdivided into 12 states. With the hope that the aim of the Gowon's administration was just one thing, to ensure that no region would be strong enough to rebel against the Nigerian state, but not thinking about will it affect the economic development of the country or not. There was no emphasis on that. The simple reason was just make the regions weaker so that they cannot, challenge the Nigerian state.
But coming out of the civil war.
Coming out of the civil war. Okay. But the effect at the end of the day is that we've not only made the regions weaker, which led to weaker states, we have also created states that are also very weak and could not, produce the dividends required by the Nigerian people. At a point in time when we had when the oil money was coming in, Gowon was reported to have, or allegedly, said to have boasted that our problem was not money, it was how to spend it. At a point, we had to borrow Dubai some money, but all these were dependent on an economy at that point in time which was not mono economy, because we still had the granite pyramids, we still had the cocoa in high number, we still have coal being mined. Gradually, all these other sectors of the economy were wind down. We now created a lumping ruling class in Nigeria, where politics is more profitable, than going into businesses. And what led to this? We started the formations of political parties. Again, we're trying to work with the structure of federalism, forgetting the fact that we are embracing presidential system of government, which will make it more expensive to run, and a lot of resources will be needed to run that. So one of the important features of presidential system is you must have political party. We created a situation where it is impossible for a Miriam or anybody to say they want to lead a political party without having enormous resources of money. So because of that, we narrowed, the political space for our home people. To a very few people, who could muster the required amount of money. At a point in time, you need billions to even put the structure of a political party down, before you can get it registered. Not until Gani Faimi went to court to challenge this, or I think it's the NCP, went to court to challenge this, that you don't need to have a presence more than in the state capital, in the federal capital. Now, when you look at that situation, we've created the political parties and structures. The rest of us will have to queue behind the rich guys who would have to do it. Money, when employed, either in business or politics, is meant to make profit. And once the rich politicians get into power, the first thing is to
return on investment.
Recruit the money and then get the return on investment to prepare for another race. And in that process, we started running down every sectors of the economy. For instance, all the refineries were run down on purpose with a view to create one thing, to ensure that we are importing petroleum products into the country.
I'm sorry, let me just pause you there, because this is also a hot topic. We have been on this matter weeks upon weeks. The fact that, oil theft is rife, we don't know where the money goes. When you say that this was done on purpose, what exactly do you mean by that? And who are the people who did it on purpose.
It's not actually one government. It's a collusion, you know, by the ruling class. The Nigerian elite decided, the rich class decided to run it down on purpose by not maintaining those refineries. At the same time, and that got to a peak when Abacha was in power. And that was done on purpose. And subsequent government after that have been voting in huge amount of money, which have not changed the fortune of those refineries. Mm. If you remember, there was a law in Nigeria that created 455,000 barrels of oil a day to be processed for local consumption. Mm-hmm. And at that point in time, the cost of processing, according to the Abacha's regime, was about 21 naira, you know, to process a barrel of oil. Now, we are faced with a different situation. The law has been scrapped. We now face a situation where, in fact, it started from Babangida's regime when we had to take what they call oil swap, you know, for petroleum products. So now we have established refineries, or some of our rich class have investment in refineries abroad. So this same oil is now taken out, processed, and then return back to the country. When people say there is subsidy, I begin to ask a question. There is only subsidy because you scrap the law. The moment you scrap the law, it was never part of our quota, the OPEC quota of 2.2 million barrels maximum at a point in time. It was never part of it. That was for local consumption. So therefore, you cannot price what is meant for local consumption at international oil price rate and then
tell now claim there's a subsidy.
You are not subsidizing it. They scrapped the law. While before they scrapped the law, we used to have what they call PEF, Petroleum Equalization Fund.
Yes.
What was the essence of PEF? PEF just got scrapped about 6-9 months ago. PEF is when petrol, the landing cost of petroleum products in Lagos is, say, for instance, just an assumption, is 100 naira. And you want to sell the same product in Kano, 100 naira. In Maiduguri, 100 naira. In Port Harcourt, 100 naira. What they simply did was government now, you know, created a kind of another benchmark so that if it costs 20 naira to take it to Port Harcourt or to Maiduguri,
to be absorbed,
they now add it to it so that people in Lagos, where the landing cost is 100 naira, will pay 120 naira. So, and then they now pay the bridging fund with the petroleum equalization.
Nobody buys
that. Went on for years. It was just under 6 months ago that it was scrapped. So, and those are the things they are calling, you know, subsidy. These are wastages within the economy, you know, which are done on purpose by the leadership. So therefore, when you have a leadership that is smarting from deficit, you are bound to have the kind of situation we have in the country. But they themselves do not just come into being. They are a product of the structure which we have in the country currently. That is why many people are calling for restructuring. That if you don't restructure, if you continue with this structure, go and bring anybody to head Nigeria, you end up getting the same result. But and that is why we've been having from bad to worse.
But then the issue of restructuring, I'm sorry, Chetan, I know you want to ask a question. The issue of restructuring is also some form of an election banter. It seems like a thing that we throw out there, like rhetorics. But when it comes to the actuality, I mean, there was a paper that was raised by the APC committee on restructuring. Where's that paper? We had the National Confab. Where are the recommendations? They're all gathering dust. We keep paying lip service to restructuring, but really, do we want restructuring?
And also to add to that, when you mention restructuring, it sounds like it has to be unanimous. Everybody has to come
agree
to the
to
agreement. No, from what you have described, because I know you have still a lot to say, this looks like something is profiting a certain class. And this class will not want to change this. So if you want restructuring, I want restructuring, Marianne wants restructuring, the people that are profiting from this system do not want it. They might not, because restructuring will not give them what they are having. So where are we? Is it like the chicken and the hen now? We don't know where to start. Is it a vicious circle?
Yes, you are correct. When you look at, let me give you just one element, one item from the report of the 2014 Confab report, the issue of a unicameral legislature.
Mm. Yeah.
There is no way the Senate or the House of Reps will dissolve itself.
Yeah.
They will not agree that they have to one, they should merge them together and then become one. We do not require the number of senators and House of Rep members which we have today. Mm. You would not believe it. The cost of running this country is so huge that we can't, it's highly unsustainable. The problem we have is that those who are profiting from this system do not want the system change.
Mm-hmm.
Those who have oil blocks don't want fiscal federalism.
Which is logical.
It is logical. Yeah, it's only it's about logical. Their own interest. Yeah. And that's what they're thinking about. The unfortunate part is we have a ruling class which is highly ruinous in its attitude, you know, to national development. They are not taking into consideration the interest of the very people who they are wielding their own hegemony over.
Mm.
Occasionally, when you have a burst of emotions, like revolution or workers going on strike and all that.
Or
Hensas. That is when you now see the ruling class getting worried and for the first time thinking about how do we address this problem one way or the other. Once that crisis is over, they go
business
back to their usual
business
way. If you look at the Hensas, what happened at the end of the day? Till today, it's still the youth that are being stopped. I am not being stopped when I drive on the road, but I can see that it's only the youths, very young guys, who are being stopped for driving cars. Yes, some of them may not be able to account for the resources, but there are quite a lot of them who are hardworking, who hand their income legitimately, and they're able to, you know, purchase those things they have. So it's the kind of country which we have built. Unfortunately, things cannot continue like that.
Mm.
Nigerians are getting fed up, particularly in the urban areas. Even people in the rural areas have little or anything to show, you know, to anyone why they're Nigerian. I still don't understand it. The development in the rural area is worse.
Mm.
There are still so many areas in Nigeria, so many villages without access to telephone, electricity, or water, or pipe-bombed water.
I was doing a documentary in a community just by the FCT, and I realized that they don't have water, and it's just by the FCT. So, yeah. I mean, what you're saying is right. But then we also have this issue between state and local governments where the states are strong-arming the local governments. They've renamed them all kinds of things, LCDAs. They call them all kinds of things. And some of them have not had elections in years because they just put stooges there. Now, for the local government, the local government officials are the governments that are closest to them, not necessarily the states. So can we say that maybe the states are responsible for the local governments and those areas that have been left to whatever it is? But then we were having a conversation earlier on, and most of the votes that politicians get come from these areas. So the question is, why do they get those votes if these people are underserved?
Yeah, your question is actually linked to the issue of rural development, because without the local government, you can't get to the grassroots. I absolutely concede. But one thing which you see is that the way we've designed local government in Nigeria is an anomaly. We claim we are practicing presidential system of government. People should go to America and check whether local government gets federal allocation. They don't. There is nothing called federal allocation to local government. They have no business. You only have two tiers of government. You know, you have the confederating units and the coordinating center. So how, where we manage to get this third one, I don't understand it right from day one. And that is why many things are going wrong. The governors are seizing their money.
Yeah.
They are not paying any local government.
Yeah.
So the local governments are not able
to function. You know,
To function. The coordinating center cannot dictate to the state. Even if you go by our own constitution, as imperfect as it is, they cannot dictate to the state. And so the states are able to wangle and do what they like. Whereas, we are practicing presidential system. America is the best example. Go to America. A university can have its own local government. You can have your local policing system.
Mm-hmm.
And in any community, you can have a street saying that we want to, an area, we want to have our own local government. There are conditions that you must meet. You must show that you would elect your leaders democratically. You must show how to pay for the cost of governance. It could mean that what they call tenement rates or land use charge, it could mean that people are willing to pay a little bit more, $10 more, to raise the funds to run that council. You must show that. You must show the process of accounting for money. Then you must show how you intend to invest it, either in education and health. And therefore, you are allowed to have your own local government. It's not funded from the center or from the state government. What the state government does is when you have major projects, they can give you a top-up grant. They are not even obliged to do that. They call them county councils. In London, they call them boroughs. It's the same situation. You raise your money. So I don't know where we managed to get these feeding bottle system, local government,
But that seems to be the modus operandi. At the end of the month, governors go with cap in hand to the federal government to give them money.
So go to Texas. The oil is not owned by the American government. It's owned by the people, the landowners. You cannot distort presidential system of government. You cannot distort federalism, and then claim that we are producing bad leaders.
This is a great conversation, but we're talking leadership and, of course, leadership deficits, why Nigerian presidents seem to fail. Biodo Showomi is our guest.
All right, what's up, Lagos? And we said, yes, treasure hunt. Somebody hunted, somebody won. And we said we would announce. And it has to be with a female's beautiful voice. Hi.
Hello. All right, our winner for the treasure hunt, quickly before we go back to our conversation, is Kainde Rohibat Odofin. I don't know what that middle name is pronounced like, but I tried. Anyway, your email address is kennyrockhabe@gmail.com. And we have your number. It ends with 7602. You said your location is Lagos. And we want you to give us your social media handle. And I hope that your location is Lagos, because we need to be able to give you your money.
No, but we'll send it. We'll send it to your account.
We'll send. We're texting you now.
Rohibat, remember Mariana myself.
Well, inside the 5K.
We're together.
Ogwen is 5K.
Congratulations to you.
Anyway, we're still talking serious in the studio here. We're talking about leadership deficit in Nigeria and why Nigerian presidents seem to fail. And our guest has been in the studio with us from the start. Biodo Showomi is a veteran journalist and is also a political analyst of, how do they call it, par excellence. So now we want to move into leadership in itself, because we've talked about local governments, and before we went on the break, we were talking about why local governments are unable to work or reach the people that they're supposed to reach. You're saying that we need to fix our constitution, but there was recently a constitution amendment of sorts, amendment. Again, I go back to the confab. There was a national conference under Obasanjo. We had this Jonathan. Then, of course, the APC came up with something also. Really, how serious are we about amending, or are the loopholes that these politicians are taking advantage of just comfortable with?
And to add eyes into that, is that why our democracy is still nascent after 20-something years?
Because we never seriously want to address any problem in this country, except it leads to major crises.
Who's we?
The ruling class.
Okay.
Ruling class.
Not us.
Of any persuasion, whether you say it's of the PDP extraction, APC extraction, I don't even see the difference anyway. You can sleep in APC and wake up in PDP. Vice versa. So, what they seem to have going for them is their unity. They are united in the sense that they're united over their own interest, which is economic interest. Anything that will rock the boat is totally unacceptable. If you follow the debate, when I think in the House of Reps, it was very quite clear that they would rather pick and choose from the whole Confab report. They are not interested in fiscal federalism, but they are interested in some form of political restructuring, even if it means the security services then try and devolve responsibility in that area and all that. But the way our constitution is written is such that it's not just up to National Assembly to amend that constitution. we will still have to go to all the houses of assembly in the states, and you need to start from there. And that is where the checkmate is. I cannot see the issue of the state police, which the National Assembly approved, has not seen the light of the day till now. And because it's been checkmated, the process of consultation, even on those amendments, are not made public. What they do is they send it to each state of assembly, and then the governors, you know, monitors what goes on there, and then that's the end of it. If they don't have to talk, that's the end. So the people are not even involved. They are not even aware to the point of lobbying their members of houses of assembly, you know, to pressure them to say, look, we need to do this. So what the ruling class seems to have settled for in Nigeria is we will do some limited piecemeal reforms, and that is it. Currently, they're talking about the issue of power. Devolve, allow the state governments, you know, to go into power generation, then talking about state police. But that is not all. That is not all. The issue of fiscal federalism is also part of the restructuring agenda, which has we have to, because what we have currently is promoting, you know, what I will call, please permit me, maybe I'm being creative with words, state indolence. And what do I mean by state indolence? A situation where you generate electricity in Port Harcourt, and then you are forced, not only for your people, the state government, the River State government, will generate the electricity. It's not just for their people. It will be pumped.
Yes, it serves all the way as far as Cross River.
So what's the incentive in other state governments investing in that sector? That is what I mean by state indolence. A situation where the federal government budget on agriculture is almost more than all these 36 state assets of states budget for agriculture. And yet the federal government does not own the land. What is that about? What is the money being used for? You know, and these are quite many examples why it's not just about money when we talk about fiscal federalism. You know, we are actually talking about the entire economy. Money is only one of the ingredients, you know, in that area. So the current approach of piecemeal approach, let us take security. We need to make sure that they can't remove us and then be able to manage them. Two, okay, let us see what to do about power. That's what they're trying to do. If you can't create jobs for people, at least people can create the enabling environment for them to be able to create jobs for themselves. But those are the two issues they are looking at currently. But in terms of the current National Assembly as constituted, changing the situation, I doubt it.
Nothing can happen.
In fact, this is the most compliant National Assembly in the history of Nigeria. If not
compliant, in what sense?
No skirmishes, no disagreements.
There is no National Assembly I know that would allow the federal government to borrow the kind of money they borrowed. When Jonathan was leaving government, President Jonathan, he left a debt of 12 trillion. Today, our debt is 43.5 trillion. And all this happened within 8 years. We have never borrowed this in our life. In our life. Never. If you talk about the external components of our debt, is almost 48
trillion.
Dollars. When Obasanjo was begging, you know, that for debt forgiveness, we only had a debt of 35.
35, yeah.
When we couldn't even manage the economy was badly squeezed, and he had to ask for debt forgiveness, debt written off.
So we're in an even worse
situation. We are
situation.
Now in a worse situation.
And we're still saying we're going to borrow more.
We are
because
still borrowing.
The budget is, I mean, it's on its own.
We have to borrow, you know, to fund
there's
that
no
budget.
Money. Do you know why there's no money? Oil is selling at an all-time record high figures. Many countries' oil producers are smiling to the banks. But Russia is making over $150 billion in 6 months.
Where are we in this thing?
As Essex, we are not in it for different reasons. One, we have a capacity for $2.2, $2.4 billion. OPEC's quota for Nigeria is 1.6 At times it varies, it moves up to 1.8. Now, in our own case here, we are only producing 1.2, 1.1. And why? We are being told the hall is being stolen. Stolen by who? We have NEMASA there, we have the entire Nigerian Navy,
we have the NSCDC, the police,
all of them. And now suddenly we are being told by the Customs Comptroller General that they don't actually believe what we are being told. That is, the real thieves are in the NNPC's office. You know, it's just a paper. We are only being told this is how much they lived and this is how much has been stolen.
And our president, just to put it out there, in case people forgot, is the minister for petroleum.
You know, I remembered when David Mack was the Senate president, myself, Professor Sylvester Odion, and Oflasu, and one other person, we went to the National Assembly, to the Senate, to try to lobby them, you know, to change the way oil is taken, oil is calculated in Nigeria. Nigeria is the only country in the whole world where when you pump oil, where you are pumping is not where you calculate what has been taken out.
It's where
you
pump
only from the storage, not from the flow station. So. And then when we raise the issues, the oil majors, we had already taken on the oil majors at that point in time. The oil majors' argument was that between the where the oil is pumped and to the storage,
vandalism,
and that's where the oil tells. So you cannot calculate it from there. So they're only going to calculate
how much gets
from the storage.
What quantity that
gets. It's like buying a new car from Lagos, and because we are taking it to Abeokuta, you are saying
changes.
That you will not pay. And when you get to Abeokuta, you only pay for a second-hand
car.
So, and I remember we got harassed. We nearly got arrested, you know, molested over this. And in fact, at a point, I was shocked when this then Senate President David Mack stood up, you know, and you know, he was poo-pooing, he was rubbishing us. And one of the senators, I remember Ndoma Egba, who we were speaking to on the phone outside, we were lobbying them. He did not know we were in the premises. He was walking right in front of us, and he then denied, oh, look, I'm not in Abuja. You know, Professor Sylvester Odion Akaine can testify to this.
Wow.
You know, I just laughed and I said, look, these are the people ruling this country when you cannot even act in your own national interest. Nigeria is the only country where oil is calculated from storage, not from where it is being pumped.
Well, we want Nigerians and Lagosians to get into this conversation. The phone lines are open. Keep those calls coming. 0700-993-993-993. That's the number for you to call. 0700-993-993-993. Our guest, Biodun Showmi, has been dissecting, of course, national issues, the problems bedeviling the country, and why our leadership has so much deficit, and it looks like we're standing on one leg.
All right, so remember the phone lines, 0700-993-993-993. And Mr. Showmi, let me just ask this. The picture you've painted. Well, before I go to, let me hold that thought and see if this caller something to say.
Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos?
Good morning.
What's up, Lagos? What's your name, sir?
Okay, my name is Barrister Peter Oko.
All right,
I'm
go ahead.
You
I'm
got 60
from
seconds.
Maryland.
All right, go ahead.
Yes. First of all, I want to say I send my greetings to my friend there, Mr. Biodun Showmi.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
And I'm very happy that Nightline Info has been able to bring such a credible person, because he's a very familiar figure in CTFM.
Okay, do you have a question, please? Because your time is going.
My take on this issue you are discussing is that this whole thing borders on corruption. You see, the issue is that unless we restructure this country, it cannot work. We're just romancing with democracy. Maybe we like the way it sounds. This is not democracy. There's what you call a template for democracy. There are countries that are practicing democracy.
Right.
We have to practice it the way it is being practiced.
All right, sir. Thank you very much for calling. You got 60 seconds on the clock, so please, when you call, go straight to the point. Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos? Sorry about that. If that was you, please call us back. 0700-993-993-993. That's the number to call. The ladies' line is down for now. 0700-993-993-993. We're live on Facebook.com. Look for Nigeria Info 99.3. We're also live on YouTube, so you can be part of the conversation. Drop your comments.
So I was going to ask earlier, as this is, the picture you've painted, gloom is an understatement. If you say it's gloomy for us, it's an understatement. Where restructuring could be done, but those that should do it don't really want it. Nobody actually cares. I'm going to ask you a question I normally ask when pictures like this are painted. What do we do? But I think we have a caller. Like, what do we do? What to do?
Hello, good morning. Oh,
as a people,
dear. Oh,
as
dear.
A people, what to do?
Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos? Good morning. Are you there?
All right, please call us back when you can. We have messages on our Facebook. Kosoko Olight on here says, is some people...
They're talking about something else.
No, okay. This one says, we fail because we have bad cabinets, or the presidents fail because they have bad cabinets. All right, well, the phone lines are back up. Would like to hear from you. Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos? Please turn off your radio.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Joy calling.
Go ahead.
All right, Joy, go ahead.
What I want to say about all these things is that Nigeria don't want to be free from all these people. Even if set of people get off, they enough is enough. You will say you are going to office. Me will say I'm going to my place of business. Is that how we are going to continue in this nation? Thank you.
Right. All right. Thank you very much, Joy, for calling.
Saying that we're not really tired.
She's saying that we're not ready.
All right. We have a message here. Good morning. I want to thank Mr. Biodun, your quest for inculcating us this morning about the dismantling of good structure laid down by our heroes past. What you said about our local government areas is very true. My local government is the worst. The road from Obi local government area in Otokpo local government area have been washed up by erosion since 1999. Till now, nothing has been done while we have leaders representing us to the federal and state level. Benjamin Peter Achie from Apapa Road. Benjamin, thank you. Please turn
off your radio. Hello, good morning.
What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lego?
Chest alive. All right. Go ahead. What's your name, sir? Where are you calling from?
I'm Pastor Solomon. I'm calling from Awolowo Ikoyi.
All right.
Yes, I just want to appreciate your guest in the studio.
Okay.
He has done a very good work. By his grace, I am talking that this very country is going to work. I strongly believe it will work. Even no matter the problem we are having one day, the one that created all of us will give us a good leader in this place.
All right.
What I could say concerning what your guests have been dissecting is that the problem we are having is that the right people that are supposed to rule us in this democracy, so-called democracy, have not been allowed to come into the system. So you see that a particular circle of people are keep on rotating the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, since there is an expiring date to everything created under the sun, one day, all of them will expire.
Thank you very much for calling. Well, we're still taking your thoughts and comments on the issue. Don't forget, we're live also on Facebook. Look for 99.3 Nigeria Info. And on Twitter, you could send us a message with the hashtag WhatsApp Lagos. Joy Forever here on Twitter says, we know the solution, but we keep electing the same set of leaders. We need a functional and working system, not strong leaders. That is why we must restructure the system.
All right, a message here says, I always say this, we're not serious people as a nation. Kingsley Benibo from Aja.
All right, hello. Oh, sorry about that. Please call us back if that was you. Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos?
Hello, good morning. Hello.
All right, please turn off your radio whenever you call us. Kindly just walk away from it if you can. Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos?
What's up?
Chest
what's
alive.
Up? What's up? Sorry about that.
The lines are a bit tricky this afternoon or this morning. Hello, good morning. What's up, Lagos? Hello?
Hello.
Good morning.
Please walk away from your radio or turn it off, please.
What's up, Lagos?
I'm calling for more cocoa.
All right, go ahead. Your radio is still interfering.
So please turn off your radio. It's very simple because when you have those, you know, feedbacks coming back and forth, it can also affect your call.
All right, the message here says, Stretch, it's not a picture painted. It's our life. It's our government's reality. Our coming election should throw away every member of the politicians that have brought us to this situation. Thank you for your analysis, Mr. Showumi. And his name is Richard. Thank you, Richard.
All right, the phone lines are blinking. Hello. Good morning. What's up, Lagos? Please turn off your radio.
What's up, Lagos?
What's up, Lagos?
Church to life. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm Victor, calling from Abarange.
All right, Victor.
What I'm saying is that I appreciate your guest. Your guest really spoke very well, you know. And what I'm saying is that come 2023, let's put Obi there so that since we walk right not, in this nation,
we're not campaigning for anybody.
The same people, the same set of people that have been that's been corrupting our system.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And this goes to everybody.
Campaigns are not out. We're not campaigning.
Yes, we're not allowing anybody to campaign on the show. Please. Cool. All right. Yes. Thank you very much. Hello. Good morning. What's up, Lagos? Please turn off your radio.
Hello.
What's up, Lagos?
What's up? What's your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Chris. I'm calling from Magodo.
All right, Chris.
You see, what I want to say in this matter is that the problem we're having about this is that settlers gain access into the corridor of power in Nigeria, and that the people that are engineering this thing. So our own people, our own politicians are weak because those people are violent, overshadowing them. And if you look, our money that is going outside to neighboring countries, not in Europe.
Okay.
Much.
Yeah. All right. Well, we want to thank you all. Unfortunately, time is not on our side. I mean, we want to thank our guest, Mr. Showumi. Always a pleasure to have a conversation with you. We hope that you come back again.
Mr. Showumi has to come back again. Even after now, he has
to
come back.
We want to conclude this conversation.
I'll be delighted to be back. Thank you for having me.
Biodu Showumi is a veteran journalist and, of course, a political analyst. And we want to say thank you to him for being here. Well, this is the show today, Lagos. Thank you so much for being part of the conversation. I am Mary Anacon. We'll be back tomorrow, 10 a.m. till 12 noon, I beg your pardon. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram, MIMIEYO, and then search for Marianne Dukukun everywhere else.
All right, my name is Stretch. I'm back, and Stretch Cool on Twitter and Stretch Original on Instagram. We'll talk again tomorrow morning. Tomorrow is Thursday.
Yes,
Friday Eve. All right, we'll be back. Take care. Enjoy your day.
All right, Lagos. Enjoy the rest of our programs.